Episode 122 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world manage risk and seize opportunities. Learn more at futuresfundamentals.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudelli sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Hey everyone, before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsors, CME Group and Trading Technologies. Today I spoke to a man who had a high school internship with a liquidity provider for sports bettors, became a U.S. Marine, and then dove into trading in 2001. He's the president of the Protean Trader and the author of The Global Macro Edge. His name is John Netto. Today, John and I had a great discussion on why he felt the need to create a better measure for investment skill. Well, John got to work and created the Netto number. He explains what the Netto number is and why it's a better measure of investment skill than other models currently being used. John explains why the playing field for traders has never been more level and tells us what the global macro edge means. We talked about the democratization of information and his six biggest myths on Wall Street. Finally, we chatted about his three parts of running a successful trading business and why John is raising money and awareness for service dogs that go to military veterans. John is a brilliant guy who is passionate about the trading business. He loves to educate traders, and my favorite part about knowing John is that he's a good person who helps animals and veterans. Once again, thank you all for listening, and please enjoy this episode. John, welcome to the show.
Anthony, it's great to be here, buddy. Thanks for having me.
It's great to speak with you today. Now, we recently met face-to-face just by coincidence. We were both in New York City. We both happened to be at SMB Capital, where we had a great opportunity to speak with their traders. And I know I had a blast speaking with them, and I'm sure you did as well. And we have a lot to discuss today about your book. You gave some insight when we were at SMB. But before I get into that with you, I'd like to hear your backstory. Tell us how you got your start in the industry and walk us through your journey to eventually becoming the president of the Protean Trader.
Sure. I would say that my journey began at the age of 8 when I placed my first sports bet. And then my understanding of risk and how to manage risk really took on its – the first internship was as a liquidity provider in high school. I lived in the Bay Area. And so I received this line from Las Vegas, this radio line, and I actually was a liquidity provider for those wishing to bet on sporting events as a high schooler. And that actually has a lot of similarities with being a trader. And I did that for 3 years up until the time I turned 18, and that taught me a lot of great lessons. I didn't join the Marine Corps. I'm right out of high school at the age of 18 in 1993. That was also taught me a lot of discipline, self-confidence, the value of process, how to commit to something. And then ultimately started trading when I was in Japan, actually in the Marine Corps, in 1997-98. So I always had an interest in the market, and just, you know, worked from there. Then came and set up my own. I had an introducing brokerage firm in the futures side. Really started trading futures pretty heavy in 2000-2001, and ultimately evolved into what I am today, which is a full-time, you know, cross asset class futures trader. And where I wrote The Global Macro Edge and started the Protean Trader.
Why the name Protean Trader?
Sure. Protean comes from the Greek god Proteus, and Proteus was the son of Poseidon, who was the god of the sea, god of the ocean. And so Proteus was able to take on many shapes and forms. And so if you see the word, like, the Protean actor, the Protean composer, it's a definition that implies a lot of versatility, a lot of flexibility, someone that can take on many shapes and forms. And so that's indicative of my trading style. And yeah.
All right, cool. Now I want to talk to you about something that you mentioned in your book. You talked about the way that Wall Street measures investment skill, and you have a way that you think it should be measured, and you call it the Netto number. So first, I want to talk about, you know, why you felt the need to create the Netto number And as I found this really interesting and love hearing you speak about it, when we were in New York City, I got to hear you talk about it a little bit. Explain to us what exactly the netto number is.
Sure. There are three dimensions which you can measure performance on Wall Street. And most of us, when we turn on the TV, we see that the first dimension of performance assessment happens at the nominal level, meaning, okay, the Dow's up, you know, 1% today or 25 basis points on the day, or how much did you make last year? And so that first dimension simply measures things on nominal performance, and there's no context in that performance whatsoever. The second dimension of performance measurement happens, you know, with what you'll see on most hedge fund tear sheets, and that is to measure performance relative to the lens of realized volatility. And you have things like the Sharpe ratio, the Sortino ratio, the Kalmar ratio. So if a fund makes 10% 1 year and they have a standard deviation of, let's say, 14%, okay, that's, you know, that's a decent return. If a fund makes 10% 1 year and has a standard deviation of, let's say, 40%, well, they made 10%, but they also had a lot of volatility. And so the second dimension measures that return relative to the overall volatility of the portfolio, and that's what a lot of sophisticated institutional investors use on Wall Street. Well, the netto number takes that and goes one level further in what I call the third dimension, or the three-dimensionality of performance assessment. And what we do is we actually measure with the netto number how you performed relative to a predetermined risk budget. Now, Anthony, being a longtime futures trader like you are, if I give you a $1 million account and tell you, okay, you can only lose $200,000, Anthony, that's your risk budget, and I go down the street and give your competitor $1 million and tell him he can lose $400,000 of that million, meaning if he falls to 600K, he stopped out. At the end of the year, if you're up 30% and he's up 30%, dimensions one and two will probably look at your performance in the same way. They'd say, oh, look, you both made 30%. You must both be the same manager. But in fact, Anthony, your return per unit of risk was better because you had half of the flexibility to begin with. You only had $200,000 to begin with, where he had $400,000. And Wall Street doesn't have a way to measure that right now until the netto number came around. And it's that third dimensionality which gives you a much different perspective on where real investment skill is.
See, I love this because you took the one thing that a trader looks at, and we look at the worst case scenario and move forward. You took the downside and implemented it into it.
Absolutely. And it's that downside and measuring what that performance is, the downside, that has that significance. And so there's two factors to this. One, which is the performance relative to the risk budget. But it's also important to measure performance relative to what the volatility is, because the Sharpe ratio is important. So it's like this. If you have that $200,000, let's play this example one step forward, Anthony. You have that $200,000 risk budget, okay? And with that $1 million starting level, you only made, or let's say you lost $50,000 of that before making, you know, that $300,000, okay, which is a phenomenal return, all right? The other guy, however, you know, maybe didn't lose anything before making that $300,000 return. All right, maybe he just was up the entire time. So the netto number allows for those two independent variables, and I would say it's analogous to having a real estate broker, okay? The way most real estate commissions work, the guy simply gets paid for the price he sells your home. If he sells your house for $1 million, the broker gets 6% of that. Well, guess what? Would we not both agree that if the broker sold your house in a two-month time period, juxtaposed to a nine-month time period, that there's actually a value for that time premium there? And guess what? The netto number sort of applies that metric. In fact, it can apply that metric to real estate. So if someone sells a house in 2 months for $1 million, or they sell a house in 9 months for $1.1 million, that's probably the same. But in real estate, they make a 6% commission either way. But using the netto number, there'd actually be a time premium put on that. And because they took 11 months or 9 months to sell it, they'd make only a 5% commission.
I love this. I want to talk more about it, but I want to move on and talk about a couple of other topics here too. Next, I want to talk about something I think that some traders may disagree with you on, and you, as you say, the playing field right now has never been more level. With all of the technology out there, John, you got HFT, AIs, algo trading, and things we probably don't even know about. So talk to us about why you believe right now the playing field's never been more level.
Yeah. And let me even take what you just said one step further. It's never been more level to a more diverse group of people than what we have right now. And you want to rewind 20 years ago, information and the speed with which it was transmitted and the medium with which it was transmitted has changed markedly. All right. We now have the ability that it's not just about a select group of people on Wall Street who have access to information. The global macro edge actually is the ability to understand the message of the markets and incorporate the macro narrative and identify a profitable, which strategy is most likely to profit in that underlying market regime. And that can happen for people from me in my living room here in Las Vegas or from you in Florida. You and I don't have to be in New York City or Chicago. We don't need to be in the trading pits anymore. I don't need to be on a sell side desk talking to the guy who covers my firm to get the information. That information can now be had, and I can access markets in Asia, in Europe, electronically. I can, the barriers to entry for me, if I want to backtest something, I can get a TradeStation account or I can get a CQG account, and I can now backtest strategies in the matter of seconds versus what may have taken me 20 or 30 years ago, 6 months or a year or 3 months, and I simply didn't have the capacity to do that. And you look at, you know, Moore's Law in terms of the how fast processing speed has evolved. What I can do with a trading idea, what I can do with a niche strategy is available that if you maybe have a healthcare background or you have a semiconductor background or you have a certain emerging market background, you can set up a niche hedge fund now, and because of technology, someone can invest in 100 different managers today that can maybe only run $5 million a piece, or you can run these strategies. And this simply wasn't around 20 years ago. The risk-centric technology did not exist 20 years ago, and now I can find Anthony's strategy for mean reversion on Nat Gas, and I can find John Edo's strategy for, you know, crude on for trend following on crude. This accessibility, this availability of information, the democratization information, is why there's so much opportunity and why so many people can now benefit from what goes on in the market.
I agree with you. And I think when I said at the beginning, a lot of people that would disagree are people that are not willing to adapt to the changing conditions of the market. I came from the pit. You know, when I first started, it was hard for me to adapt from pit to electronic. And then I went from a scalper to a swinger to a swing trader. Now I'm starting to use more options. And I've, you know, changed my time frames, changed my, you know, my approach to the way that I trade. And I think a lot of people in this industry, they get frustrated because things do change. And when you learn how to make money one way, nobody likes it being changed. I didn't. But when you adapt and change, I agree with you, the playing field really never has been more level than what it is right now. So good stuff so far, John. And I want to talk to you about another interesting topic that you brought up to me. And you said there are six big myths on Wall Street. Can you share with our audience what you believe those are?
Sure. The first myth out there, I made those six myths the center of the book, because it's really easy to sort of write a book where, oh, follow this technical trading system or, you know, do this kind of fundamental analysis. But if you want to make something consumable, it has to be a compelling story. It has to be something that's digestible to us at our most basic level. And myth busting or changing or going after conventional perceptions is what my attempt was. So the six misconceptions out there, the six myths out there on Wall Street that I thought were a big factor that I have solutions for that I put forth in the book are as follows. The first is more risk equals more return. Actually, what my book shows is that it's smarter risk that equals more return. The second myth is that money always finds its most efficient home. Well, I think that you and I are evidence of that by both of our long professional trading careers, that money doesn't always find its most efficient home. If it did, in fact, you and I wouldn't be able to do what we do for a living, okay? The third one, and this is probably the most polarizing of all six, is that emotions are your biggest enemy. There's a perception out there, or there's a strong belief, that emotions, in fact, should be removed from the investment process. In fact, there's more analysis out there, both academically and from the industry, that the most successful portfolio managers incorporate their emotions and their intuition into their overall process, okay? The fourth is that, you know, diversification is the only strategy you need. Well, yes, if you want to build a but diversification isn't backward-looking. It has to be anticipatory. It has to be dynamic. And so, you know, today's, you know, diversification could be tomorrow's correlation. So there's a lot more to it than just simply set it and forget it when it comes to diversification. The fifth thing that we look about is that there's more opportunities today than ever before, all right? And most people think, for the reasons you just talked about, there was more opportunity in the past, when in fact we prove there's actually more opportunities today for the reasons that I just mentioned. And lastly, which goes back to the first thing we spoke of, is that performance should be based on returns. And as I make the very strong contention, no, performance should not be based on returns, okay? Compensation should be based on returns. Compensation should be based on returns per unit of risk. Because of the reasons I just talked about, a guy can have, you know, a great nominal return, but he took on a lot more risk to achieve that than someone who simply, took on very minimal risk and maybe made a little bit less, but their netto number was much higher.
Yeah, good stuff, John. I really enjoy hearing you educate a lot of people about really, things that they need to know and understand when they're getting involved in investments and understanding what's really happening out there. And another thing that you and I have discussed in the past is you said there are three parts of a successful trading business: operations, analytics, and execution. And when we talked about this, I said, I feel very similar when it comes to me being a full-time independent trader like I have been for a long time. And I do a lot of presentations on this, and it's called preparation, anticipation, and then execution. And when you had said that to me first, I'm like, wow, we both have execution. We both have these, three words that really kind of, summarize what we believe we need to be successful in our business. So talk to us about, operations, analytics, and execution, and tell us why you believe that those three parts are integral for a successful trading business.
Yeah, great point, and it's funny how, great minds think alike, and I came, to the operations, analytics, and execution aspect by just simply working with a lot of great people. I don't know if you're in the same boat, but for me, like so many of the things that I've learned and I wrote about in the book were from working with 14 contributing authors, having various mentors in different aspects of my life and trying to take all the great things that I learned and then how I assimilated that into my process. And for me, what I found was that running a one-man show like I was from my living room, that I had to use technology, that I had to have, my operations, meaning how are you reconciling your account statements every night? What's the process for you to incorporate that data? How are you looking at new opportunities? What are you doing to make sure that you have the energy to focus on new ideas? And to me, the operations part of that triangle that we just went over covers those things: your organization, your back office, your infrastructure. Okay. The analytics side is, okay, well, what tools are you using to analyze market data? All right. How are you using Excel? How are you using backtesting software? What sort of proprietary computing have you done? Who have you hired to help you develop, to analyze your strategies? And then ultimately it comes down to the execution side, which is, okay, now that I've built this amazing operational infrastructure, okay, now that I've developed the analytics to identify where potential alpha is, how's my execution framework? What is my, who do I execute over? What markets, what kind of liquidity exists in those markets? And when you take all three of those, there's alpha that exists in all three of those pockets.
Yeah, I mean, you asked me if I felt the same way as you, as learning from other people is what helped me in my career, and that's 100% what helped me. I go back to the beginning days by me watching what other successful traders were doing, helped me, form my own process and strategy. Now, I did not trade like all of them, but the one thing that we all had very similar was those three things: preparation, anticipation, and execution. And our process was very similar, if not exactly the same. But the way we traded, some guys used market profiles, some people used, they used stars. Literally stars. They used what was happening in space in all different ways, trend lines, pitchforks, didn't matter. But all of us had the same process. So absolutely, it's so important to learn from what other people have done to become successful, and to take that and then build that and mold that together, and to help myself and like you said, you, to become successful in our trading businesses. Now, my last question for you today before we get into rapid fire is actually my favorite question. I'm an avid dog lover. I've had three dogs in my adult life. One passed away a couple of years ago, and I went and rescued an 11-year-old dog that needed a home. He's still alive, 13 and a half years old. He's trucking along, and he's one of my best buds. And even though I'm a dog lover, I never thought I'd have a rescue. And I say this because I have to say that rescuing an animal has really changed my life. And you're raising money and awareness for service dogs that go to military veterans. And I absolutely love that you're doing that. And I can't really thank you enough for doing what you do, John. So talk to us about why you're helping, military veterans with service dogs.
Sure. I had the pleasure of serving in the United States Marine Corps for over 8.5 years when I got out of high school. It had a profound impact on me in my life. And I, feel a close kinship to my veteran brethren out there, all the brave men and women who serve this country, serve the United States, and really serve all the countries out there to protect freedom. And so, I also have been an avid dog lover for a long period of time, and And I myself have benefited. I have a golden retriever. She has helped me get through some tough times, and I just really come to appreciate the companionship. Well, there's a lot of veterans coming back from Iraq, from Afghanistan, with PTSD, with other ailments, have gone through other traumatic events, and they don't have the money to pay for the training, much less the delivery that a service dog has. And so I've synced up with a couple of organizations, and we've taken the profits from the Global Macro Edge and have already helped place 7 service dogs with different military veterans through 3 different, through multiple different organizations. One in California, working with one here in Las Vegas, and another one in California coming up here. And we've already written checks from the profits from the Global Macro Edge to go towards this cause, because these veterans, you know, they don't, a lot of them don't have the same resources that you and I have, Anthony, from trading the markets. And so anything we can do, you know, to help by selling this book, to bring money to them, to help them out, these dogs are life changers.
I think it's phenomenal what you're doing. I mean, you're helping the trading community out by educating people, and you're helping veterans. You're a good man, John. I've got some rapid fire segment questions for you now, if you're ready for those.
Fire away, sir. Let's play pepper.
All right, everyone. Our rapid fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Trade the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT, the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. Create your account and try it now, free at tryttnow.com. First question, how has your trading evolved over the years?
I've become a person who was very introspective, to someone who pays attention to what the market's thinking and feeling.
Can you tell me the moment that trading just clicked for you?
No, it was a process, took many years.
What's the number one source you spend your time on?
That's dependent upon the ecosystem, but I would say Neil Azu's Site Beyond Site newsletter is my base.
What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
Joe DiNapoli, Trading with DiNapoli Levels.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
The movie Wall Street, Michael Douglas, Charlie Sheen, a classic.
What's the best piece of advice you've received about trading or the markets?
Trade for the passion, not for the money.
Now, if you can give a piece of advice to the new people interested in getting involved in trading, what would it be?
Don't be afraid to go outside your comfort zone and try stuff that's unconventional or that many people are afraid to do.
Now, last question for the day, John. If you weren't a trader, you'd be what?
An elected official.
John, it's so much fun speaking with you today. It was great to be able to meet you in person prior to this interview. I got a chance to get to know you, hear you speak. You're doing great work out there. I highly recommend everybody goes out there and checks out your book. I think it's extremely informative, and I think it's an absolute must-read for all traders and investors out there. But before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to add to today's show?
It's just great to be here, Anthony. You're doing great work for the futures industry. It's a pleasure being on the show, and I appreciate you offering me the chance to share some of my ideas and thoughts about the market and life.
Oh, no, it was a blast. It was a pleasure to have you on. Where can people see more about what you're doing, maybe on Twitter, a website, and where can they get the book?
Sure. The Global Macro Edge is available on Amazon.com. I encourage everyone to go and read the reviews on it. So far, we've been really just thrilled at the reception we've gotten. My website, The Protean Trader, that's P-R-O-T-E-A-N, or just look up at John Netto on Twitter. Everything, all my information is on my Twitter handle at John Netto on Twitter.
Yeah, everybody, you got to go and check out John. He's a good man doing good things for our industry. And once again, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on here on Futures Radio Show to speak with me and to share some great insight with our audience. And I look forward to continuing our conversations in the future.
Anthony, it was a blast, brother. Be good. Good luck in the markets, man.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.